Take your Bibles, if you will. Turn to the book of John as we continue our lessons from the book of John. We'll read some verses from chapter 15 and then also chapter 16. The title of our sermon today is Be of Good Cheer. Let's stand together if you're able. The book of John chapter 15, beginning at verse 18, and then we'll end up chapter 16, verse 33. And it says in verse 18, if the world hate you, ye know that it hated me before it hated you. If ye were of the world would love his own. But because ye are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. Can I hear an amen on that? Verse 20, remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my sayings, they will keep yours also. Chapter 16, verse 1, these things have I spoken unto you, that ye should not be offended. They shall put you out of the synagogues. Yea, the time cometh that whosoever killeth you will think that he doth God service. And these things will they do unto you because they have not known the Father nor me. Verse 20. Verily, verily, I say unto you that ye shall weep and lament, but the world shall rejoice and ye shall be sorrowful, but your sorrow shall be turned into joy. And then verse 33, these things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so very much for that statement of our Savior, I have overcome the world. And Lord, we know that the enemy is strong, but you have destroyed death, and there will come a day in which our enemy will be cast into the lake of fire for all eternity. Thank you for the victory. In Jesus' name we pray, and with thanksgiving, amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. Take your Bibles, if you will, and turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. You know, there are times in our lives in which there are battles, there are uphill struggles. And though the chair is standing here behind me, I've overcome the need of using it the last couple of weeks. And I hope I don't have to use it today. You know, you think to yourself, you need to go on and continue in some cases to overcome that which has slowed you down for a while. Do you remember when you first got the use a computer? Now, I'm talking before the laptop computers. I'm talking about where you got one of those computers and it had the big old whatever you call it. I guess that was the computer. And you had the monitor and you had the keyboard. And I remember when the first computer came in here at the church it was set down in room number 2 over there because we weren't exactly sure where the computer was going to go. And I turned it on and I'm looking at it and I typed out some things. Now I hadn't gotten into WordPerfect yet or anything like that. I just typed a bunch of words on the computer and then I hit print screen, and it did it. I thought I was really cool. And of course, then you take some classes to learn how to do different things, and you're so excited, and I'm thinking to myself, I would have loved to have had this in college. I was envious of college students that have these computers where they can move paragraphs, and if they make a mistake, they can go back and change it just like that. You're so spoiled. But you overcame the fear of that computer. You know, we live in trying times, folks. And I know that right now, financially, things may be going good, but we realize that America's economy is being held up on stilts. And some of you have lived through depression times. My dad talks about living through the depression with his mother and his two siblings. His dad had died, and it was a very difficult time. And some of you have lived through the depressions and recessions, but you overcame it. We live in trying times. And may I say this, that the Bible gives example after example of godly men and women who lived righteously in a wicked world. Would you say we live in a wicked world? Absolutely. But they overcame it. How about Noah? Noah's day was so bad that God brought punishment on the whole world. And yet he lived a righteous life. We think of Joseph sold into slavery, down into Egypt. There were no Baptist churches in Egypt when Joseph was there. They did not have the King James Bible there in Joseph's day. There were no Christian radio stations. There were no Christian bookstores. And yet Joseph lived a righteous life. How about Elijah? The people of Israel were serving false gods. And he said, bring them to the mount and we'll see whose God is God. And he lived a righteous life. May I say this? God will use weak things, but he will not use unclean things. We need to keep ourselves clean. We think of Daniel, who lived in a wicked society, and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who were told to bow down or be cast into the fiery furnace. Did they bow down? They did not. They lived a righteous life in a wicked world. We think of Esther, who lived a godly life in a terrible time. The book of 1 Corinthians chapter 10, we'll read verses 12 and 13. 1 Corinthians 10. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed, lest he what? Fall. Be careful. Verse 13. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. Wherefore, my dearly beloved, flee from idolatry. Quickly, three ways to fail in your Christian walk. Now, I do hope that all of you today can truly be called Christians. But don't confuse the fact that all people who are born again are Christians. You say, well, of course we are. No, you can be a born again person who is going to heaven, but your walk in life is that not of a Christian. Because what does it mean to be a Christian? It means to be like Christ. And there are a lot of people today who are born again who are not Christ-like. And so we have confused this thought in saying that America was a Christian nation. And many times it was not a Christian nation. There were many who were born again. But folks, you are maybe born again, but are you a Christian? And there are three quick ways to fail in your Christian walk. I give you these simply for free. The sermon's coming, folks. But these are free. First, complain about everything. Complain about everything. Number two, blame others for your problems. And number three, never be grateful. You do those three things and you won't be Christian. For Christ lived a godly life. And he was grateful. And he didn't blame his problems on others, and he didn't complain about everything. The book of Isaiah, chapter 26, verse 3 says, "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusted in thee." Should we trust in the Lord today? Well, after all, I mean, I've got 7 credit cards. I got a house and a good rating in my, well, what is that when you have a good rating? It's in your what? Your credit score, very good. Well, shouldn't you trust in that? I mean, I got a good job and good money's coming in and my health's okay and my kids are okay. Is that something you should trust in? No, we need to trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord. A.W. Tozer writes, "We need preachers who preach that hell is still hot." Do you agree with that? That hell is still hot? That heaven is still real? That sin is still wrong? That the Bible is God's word? And that Jesus is the only way of salvation? That's what we need today. And too many churches have decided that they would rather please man than please God. But we should desire to please the Lord. Corrie ten Boom wrote, "There is no pit so deep that God's love is not still deeper." I'm going to tell you this, America is in a pit today, but God's love is there. And we could see revival in America. But where's that revival have to start, folks? It has to start in Bible-believing churches. Revival's not going to start in Hollywood. Let me say that again. Some of you probably aren't thinking about that, but revival's not going to start in Hollywood. Revival's not going to start in our public schools. A revival is not going to start in the fact that the American and national baseball leagues are going to start. Revival is going to start in churches, and it's going to start with godly people. Are you willing to be one so that we can see revival in America? "In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world." Take your Bibles quickly to the book of Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12, it's the last place I'll have you turn, though I'll be reading quite a few scriptures through the rest of our sermon. But Hebrews chapter 12, "I have overcome the world." Folks, if we're going to overcome the world, we have to remain close to our Lord. And it says in Hebrews chapter 12, beginning at verse 1, Hebrews 12, verse 1, and we'll read verse 2 also. "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. And let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God." Victory can be ours. May I say this, the gospel is God's plan. The gospel is God's plan, and we've got a number of points, 5 points. Now, a perfect sermon has 7 points, and I only have 5. I'm sorry. Number 1, God rules. God rules. God created everything, and he is in charge of everything. Genesis 1:1 says, "In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth." Revelation 4:11, "Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created." It's the foundation of our faith that God is the creator. Colossians 1:16-17, "For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. He is the creator. And evolution is a lie. It is not even a good theory. And I don't care who is promoting it, it is wrong. The Bible clearly states, in the beginning, God created all things. Number two, we sinned. See, God rules, but we sinned. Since the time of Adam and Eve, everyone has chosen to disobey God. The Bible calls it sin, iniquity, trespasses, transgressions, offenses. Because God is holy. Do you agree with that statement, that God is holy? God is holy. And God cannot be around sin because he is holy. Sin separates us from God and deserves God's punishment of death. Sin, it leads astray. Sin, it corrupts. Sin, it separates. We've all heard the verses, Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Romans 6:23 says, for the wages of sin is death. I'm sorry for those who have been taught that if you are good enough, God has to let you into heaven. No, God doesn't have to let you into heaven because you're good enough. There's only one way he will allow you into heaven, and that is if you have accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. When you have said, I can't do it, I can only be saved through the shed blood of Christ, Lord, please save my soul. Forgive me. Come and live within my heart. Then we can be saved. So we find that God rules. We find that we sin. Number three, God provided. Aren't you glad we're already to point number three? How many points did I say I had?
Five.
What is Wednesday? Hump day? Well, this is hump point. We're halfway there. Aren't you glad? I'm hungry. I've been hungry since Sunday school when Pastor Stephen was talking about being hungry. But God provided because of his great love for us, and knowing that we are unable to save ourselves, he sent his son, Jesus Christ. If we could save ourselves, would the Son of God have to come to earth and die? No, if we could save ourselves, if we could be good enough, if we could give enough, if we were good looking enough, or, you know, whatever term you wanted to use, we wouldn't have to have a Savior. But we can't save ourselves. He sent his son, Jesus Christ, who is the perfect solution for our sin problem. He came to rescue us from the punishment we deserve. He has redeemed us from the marketplace of sin. He ransomed us and paid the price with his shed blood. Grace. Not getting what we deserve. I'm so glad for the grace of God. John 3, verses 16 and 17. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. The world can only be saved through Jesus Christ. It is a lie when our society says all religions lead to heaven. The fact of the matter is, there's only one faith that leads you into heaven. And that is through Jesus Christ. He did not come to condemn the world. The world is condemned already. But he has come that we might have salvation. Ephesians 2, 8, 9. And I was thinking about this when I put this into the sermon. I thought, I haven't used that verse recently. And I'm sorry for that. But Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. A gift is just that, a gift. You do not work for a gift. And we are so thankful that he has paid the price for that unspeakable gift of salvation. So we find that God rules and we have sinned. We find number four, that Jesus gives. What an example to us to be a giver. The love that he has shown. He was willing to come to earth, die on the cross for our sins, and then he rose triumphantly from the grave. We know that Easter, the Resurrection Sunday, will be here soon. May I say this, that Christmas alone is not what we need. We needed his death. And Jesus Christ came to die that we might have salvation. Now, there are those who say that John chapter 3 and verse 16 is the greatest verse in the Bible. I say that the greatest verse in the Bible is Romans chapter 5 verse 8. Now, I'm not going to argue with you. And when we get to heaven, you'll find that I was right. But it says in Romans chapter 5 and verse 8, "But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." And then verse 9 says, "Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him." The salvation that we desire comes only through the shed blood of Christ. Romans chapter 5 verse 21, "For he hath made him," God the Father hath made God the Son, "to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." We find in 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 18 through 20, these great words, "For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world." Before the world was created, it was known that once there was a creation, it would fall into sin and a redeemer would be needed, and that Jesus Christ would be that redeemer. And we are saved with the precious blood of Christ. That brings us to point number five. And go ahead, say amen, that's fine. But number five is our response. Our response. Remember, the Lord says that there will be tribulation in the world. And that we are to be good cheer because he says, "I have overcome the world. I've overcome sin. I've overcome death. I've overcome the enemy, Satan." But our response is personal. The invitation is given. We will be held responsible for the decision we make. Choose wisely. You know, you go over here to Golden Corral and they have all the food lined up there, and you can go and you can pick out whatever it is, and some of you will go and you'll get Brussels sprouts and lima beans and peas, and you haven't chosen wisely. And so I could look at that and say, you know, you need to go back and choose wisely, and you can go and get the roast beef, and you can go and get the chicken, and if you're there at the right time, you can get the hamburgers, and if you go later, you can get the steak. That's choosing wisely, folks. But when it comes to our eternal soul, you must choose wisely. You don't get a second chance once you're dead. Romans chapter 10, verses 9, 10, and 13. "That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. We can trust our Lord because he has overcome the world. And he has overcome sin. And he has overcome Satan. Shall we stand together? Our invitation song 394, I Surrender All, 394. And as Pastor Stephen is filling in and teaching the junior church, I'll be leading this time. But if you would like, and if you have never accepted Christ as your Savior, we give you that opportunity to come this morning and to make that decision and to choose wisely. Maybe you've accepted Christ as Savior, but you've never been baptized. Maybe you'd like to do that today. You'd like to come and present yourself as a candidate for baptism or to come and join our church. But as we have the song of invitation, you can come and pray by yourself, or we'd be glad to pray with you. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the songs that have been sung. And we ask, Lord, that your will would be done at this time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.